We're in our last part of choices. We've been in a series called Choices, and we're all making choices daily and yearly. However, at the end of the day, there are only a few key critical choices we need to focus on and make in our life. At the end, the choices that you make have everything to do with your destiny. Amen. It kind of reveals who you really are. For some here today, we found out in week one that the number one choice that we need to make is to get closer to God. Amen. That's why being at 21 days of prayer and fasting is going to encourage and amplify that reality in your life. Then for others, in week two, we found out the second most important choice that you could make is that to follow Jesus. And we defined and redefined what following Jesus actually means. And so it's just really coming to realize that every step you make with Jesus is a new level of Him opening the eyes of your understanding. Amen. Investing His kingdom in you. Amen. And letting you experience who He really is. And it's a process. We're changing into His image. Amen. From glory to glory. Every contact He makes with us. So, getting closer to Jesus, following Jesus is important choices that we make in life. But we also found out in the third week that the third most important choice that you need to consider is, what is your purpose? Everybody has been given a purpose by God, and He gave you that purpose before you were born. Isn't that interesting? But it's up to you and I to find out what that purpose is. And so now I know how to spend my time more wisely, how to spend the money God has given me to steward more wisely. I now know how to build my relationships because I found out my purpose. Everything makes sense when I know why I exist on this planet. If you don't know that, you're in trouble. But this week, we're discussing the fourth most important choice in our lives, and that is relationships. Relationships. Anybody agree that you need relationships? Some of us don't yet agree because a lot of pain comes from relationships at the same time. But I'm choosing, and I hope you do today after this thought from heaven, I'm choosing to focus on my relationships in 2017. And the number one reason why is because God is focused on relationships. I was just saying to a couple of men up front that, you know, God's treasure is people. He's into people. And He's into having a relationship with people. And if God's so into you, and He is, why aren't I into you? That's a good question, isn't it? You are the sum total of your relationships. Your God-given identity includes the relationships that He has purposed for your life. And we're not to repent of that. And He's not going to repent of that. Anybody ever repented for being connected to somebody before? Amen. You are who you are and where you are because of your relationships. Amen. Isn't that interesting? Relationship decisions are huge in all of our lives. And all of us have had bad ones, so much so that many of us have concluded in our thinking, because of the pain of relationships, that the most important relationship is me. Everybody look in the mirror and say, I'm going to take care of you from now on. Because I'm not going to hurt you like I've been hurt by others. Right? And many hold the idea that I've had so much pain in my relationships that all relationships are disposable. Now, we know that didn't come from heaven, but the enemy sure does say those things, don't he? So the question of the day as I move into this thought is, why walk alone? We weren't designed to be alone. It's not good that man be alone. Ecclesiastes 4 and 8 said it this way. There was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother. There was no end to his toil. No, he focused on other things instead of relationships. So, I mean, he was toiling, he was working every day. But he wasn't working on relationships. He was just working, doing other things. Yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. Now, hear me today. Satisfaction will not happen without relationships. We're designed to be happy and to be full of joy and to experience God's peace because we're connected to his body, and his body has many members in it called people. Amen? And so everyone is designed to be relational. This is why relationships are the most important decision that we can make in life when it relates to us and our connection with God. I'm going to try to get you to agree that relationships are important to you and that you want to get them back into your life in a healthy way. But I want you to know that I already know you have some excuses as to why you can't do that. Okay, so with that being said, I want to just point out a few of the excuses that some of you are going to make. Is that okay? The number one excuse that many will make is naivety, or being naive. I didn't know. No one ever preached this before. The first time I've ever heard it. After today, you won't have the excuse of being naive anymore. It's naive to think that you can handle life alone. That's messed up thinking. Men often give off the impression that we got it all together. But inside, all of us guys will tell you, we're just as fragile as any lady inside. We need help. And I hadn't met a man that hadn't died yet. It's appointed unto men, humanity, to die. So we get weak and frail anyway. You know, Muhammad Ali had a lot of fun in his smack-talking days. He was good at what he did, wasn't he? Boy, he could do some smack-talking. And it was popular. And it was fun to keep up with. But one day he was on an airplane, and he told the stewards, he said, Superman don't need no seatbelt. And the steward just replied back, yeah, and Superman don't need no plane either. Buckle up. We're all fragile. We need relationships to help us. Another excuse that we often use is temperament. Pastor, relationships just don't fit my temperament. Pastor, you're outgoing. You like people. I'm shy and I'm bashful. Anybody think like that before? Meeting people is weird for me. Just a word of wisdom. Is that okay? Word of wisdom? Get over it. You need relationships. Building relationships is awkward for everybody. It's tough on everybody to make the effort to get connected. Does anybody agree with that? That word of wisdom, get over it, is coming from heaven. It's not about me. It's about God and others. It's not about you. It's about God and others. Right? Isn't that what the message of the cross is all about? And by the way, I have the challenge that you have too. I've just got to say no to me and go ahead and trust the Lord and walk with him, because he's into people. He loves people. Another excuse that many of us use is fear. I'm afraid. What's going to happen if I go to that small group? I'm freaking out right now. Christians are weird. You're thinking that when you get to that small group that there's going to be chairs that have been circled and there's one seat in the middle and that's your seat. And that when you get in that small group, they're going to make you sit there and confess all your sins and everything, and they're going to pray and try to cast the devil out of you. That's not what goes on. Yeah, right. And the only drink in the kitchen is Kool-Aid, too. The opposite is what you're going to discover when you go and become a part of something great and involved in a small group. When you share, you're not going to get judgment back. You're going to get people that will love you and will say, you know what? I got that too. I got that same issue too. C.S. Lewis made a statement. He said, friendship is born at the moment when one person says to another, what? You too? I thought I was the only one. Friendship happens. That's where we begin to discover, amen, that connections are important to us and that we need each other. We all need to lend a shoulder and encouragement to each other. If you're afraid of what might happen, please remember this. At New Life, we know that there's no perfect people, especially the one with the mic in his hand. He needs Jesus every day. And if you still don't understand that that's true, go ask my wife. She will tell you all of God's children has issues. And if you don't think you have an issue, that's your issue. Stop playing the church game and realize we need each other. Amen. Another reason people don't get involved in relationships is past experiences. Because you've been burned before. You make the decision that I can't be involved in anything that looks like what I've been burned by. You might know what I'm talking about. Well, this will set you free today. The past pains that you've experienced because of bad relationships, it wasn't just about you two or that person in your life. The devil was up to something much greater than you can imagine. Much greater than the soap opera you may be in. He wasn't trying to destroy that relationship. His purpose is to try to keep you from being involved in another relationship. And so Satan wants us, amen, to be offended with one another. He wants to derail any and all future relationships in your life. So he'll get you, amen, all knotted up in something going on in this relationship, amen, to turn off the desire to have another one. Because he knows that's what God is into, is relationships. He wants to make sure that you never connect to the thing that God created so that you can have the best that God wants you to have. And the best that God wants you to have is relationships. Amen. And we all like being around people, amen, when we know we feel safe. Somebody said, well, Pastor, I want to feel safe. Well, that's why Jesus covers us with his presence, to give us safety. He is a strong and mighty tower. And those that are hurting and beat up, they can run into it and be safe. He's a good God. In the meanwhile, we need to let these excuses that we've allowed to become the issue, give them to God so he can heal us. Another excuse that is often used on why we can't have relationships, and I mean, this will be my last one, is busyness. Oh man, as pastor, I'm going to, if there's one, what I'm going to use, this is the one I use. My carnal side, the problem side of me, wants me to make an issue with a lot going on. Matter of fact, I'm not looking for another event right now. Amen. That's just coming from the real side of me. But you know, and if I was to do a part five on this series, it would be, you know, it's time to choose to get my schedule in order. Amen. Be wise about time. Manage your time wisely. David had something to say about time management. He says, teach me to number my days, to recognize how few they are. Teach me to spend them as I should. And so that would be a good choice that we should make in 2017, is to really manage the day that God gives us. And so it lends us to this particular question. So what does the Bible have to say about relationships? 1 Peter 4 will be my text I'll challenge you with today. Verse number 7, it goes this way. The end of all things is near, Peter tells us. Therefore, be clear-minded, self-controlled, so that you can pray. Be clear-minded, self-controlled, so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply. Now notice this. You can't love somebody, right, unless you're willing to develop the relationship. Is that true? Love one another deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. If you're not protecting your relationship, you could be dead meat. Come on, I'll just give you just one story. And I'm watching stories go on right now. But a personal friend of mine, his name's Milton Williams. Amen. Great guy. And he was in ministry and made some bad choices that hit his life and his wife, hit his family, and almost destroyed him. But because ministry that I was connected with could see the call of God on his life and the plan of God in his life, and were walking in the Spirit, they became his protection, and they restored him, and he retained his marriage and his family, and God is using him mightily today because he had sound relationships in his life that was a safe place for him. We all need that. Why? He goes on to write in 1 Peter 7, he says, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Oh man, they need a whooping right now, not no hospitality. They need a piece of my mind, not no kindness. Anybody ever, who's telling you that? Who come up with that conclusion? Yeah, it wasn't Jesus, was it? Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in various forms. Wow. God designed us to tend to his garden, and his garden has lots of trees in it. Those trees are people. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking with the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things, come on, that serving stuff, working it out stuff, being nice stuff, amen, God's given us an opportunity to step it up and walk in his character. God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be glory and power forever and ever. And everybody say, amen. Oh me. Every one of us needs to make at least one of these relationship choices. And most of us need to make all four of them that I'm about to bring up to you right now. And the first one is, this is a choice that every one of us should make, to nurture my important relationships. Number one, to nurture my important relationships. A few of those important relationships includes that God has made me a husband. He's made me a dad. He's made me a pastor. And these critical relationships cannot be left where they are. Let me say it this way. Nothing stays where you left it. This is important. You may think it should, but it doesn't stay where you leave it. Every great relationship happens on purpose, not by accident. Marriages, they don't take off, amen, and just blossom after the courting days. You know, you don't take off courting when you get married. When you tie the knot, you're supposed to spark up more courting. Double up on it. Amen. Somebody said, I don't know about that. Marriage relationships deteriorate when you don't invest in them. Courting should never cease after the wedding vows. Boy, it's quite a new life. But I know the mindset of our world says, oh, once you get married, you got it. You in. All right, now you ain't got to worry about nothing. You're gonna be fine. This is why when the scripture talks about relationships, it uses the analogy of your body. Each of us as believers are connected to one another like body parts are connected to one another. Colossians 2 and 19, in your book called the Bible, it says this, the whole body supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews grow as God causes it to grow. Paul is encouraging us to focus on the connecting points of our relationship. Hey, man, it's not about the person, it's about the connection. It's not what I see wrong with the person, it's what I see right about being connected to them from God's lens. So you work on the connection. Amen. You don't have, well, I need to work on that body part. No, you need to work on the connection. I need to change that body part. That body part ain't just right. Work on the connection. Because when you work on the connections and the flexibility of the relationship, the blood flow is greater and life is in the blood. In our body, we exercise, we rest, we take nutrients to build up our body. This is how we care for our body. If you do, you get to use your body longer. If you don't, your body will deteriorate quicker. And when you're dead, it's too late to choose to start exercising. Ladies and gentlemen, prayer is exercise. And I'm not talking about vain repetitions. I'm talking about fellowship with God is exercise. Walking in the Spirit is getting in your daily steps. We must decide to walk with Jesus. You know, they got apps out right now. You can measure your steps, you know. 10,000 steps a day is an important number, by the way. Now, I just wonder, y'all help me. If science and technology has come up with a conclusion that if you get a minimum of 10,000 steps, that's healthy for you, I wonder what God's trying to tell us in the Spirit. That He's making some steps every day, and that He wants us in step with Him, and if we do, we will be healthy in the Spirit. I just thought I'd just throw that out there. So what do you do? You strengthen and you nourish your connection to the body before it breaks. That's what we do. Fix your marriage before it needs fixing. You know what wise couples do? Wise couples will go to marriage counseling, not because they have a problem, but they'll go to marriage counseling because they want to get their marriage stronger. That's a wise couple. Kind of like we go to Jesus for answers every day. I need wisdom, and wisdom comes from above. Relationships need logs put on the fire continuously. When you don't put a log on the fire, it will what? Die out. Parents, work on your children now. Don't wait till your children get offended to try to fix them. Do it now. I'm just going to tell you something. In my mind, I actually thought if I spent time building up God's church, which I found out I couldn't do, only God could build His church. But I thought if I spent a lot of time building up the church, then my family would automatically be taken care of. Wrong. They got offended with the church. They got offended with what they thought ministry was because I gave them a bad lens on what ministry is. Ministry starts in my most critical relationships. It starts with my wife and my children. If you can't take care of your own home, how can you take care of the church of God? Build up strength and strengthen your relationships. The second relational choice that we should all make is I'm going to restore my broken relationships. There are some broken relationships that God wants restored in your life. And some of you are feeling the pain right now just talking about it. And you're going, oh God, I ain't going there. Let me encourage you. Remember this. The pain of unresolved conflict is greater than the pain of resolving it. Why? Because when you don't deal with unresolved conflict, it's an open door for the enemy to come in and keep tormenting you. You can't sleep at night. And you wonder why you're having to take extra medication. And because you're really having heartburn over something God don't have heartburn over. And you're angry at somebody that God's in love with. How is it that we can actually get angry at somebody that God's in love with? How can I hurt somebody that God died so that they might have life and that life more abundantly? It tells you how warped our thinking is and how the enemy's working overtime to keep us from being connected. Preacher, why do you have to go down this road? I want to encourage you today. Every one of us has a part. Do your part. Don't wait on the other person to live up to your idea of what you think they should do. Just do your part. And if you don't know what your part is, we have not because we ask not. Ask, seek, and knock. The Lord has something to say about what your part is. Matter of fact, You're supposed to be his representative. You're his vessel. You're his love instrument. He wants to use you for his glory. In 2017, we have to make the choice that I'm not going to take this pain and record all this wrong and hold it with me any longer in 2017. I'm letting go of it. Romans 12:17 tells us, do not repay anyone evil for evil. I mean, they were bad to me. Now I'm going to be bad back. Don't go there, is what he's saying here. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. That's a great choice that we can make in 2017, isn't it? Anybody decide? Boy, it's the first day of 2017, and Pastor, man, he's jumping right on the bandwagon of Jesus and his purpose and his people. So in 2017, I'm going to forgive people. I'm not going to be that person that carries with me that offense in my heart all through 2017. Pastor Dwayne, is it really, you know, it can't be that easy. Oh, yes, it is. Oh, yes, it is. Resolving conflict is not an event. Resolving conflict is a choice. And you need to make that choice today. You know, a couple was celebrating their 50th anniversary, and while they were celebrating, the question was asked Grandma, Grandma, how in the world was it that you stayed faithful to him for 50 years? And her reply was, that's very easy. The day we got married, I made the choice to make a list of the 10 flaws in his life and just to forgive him of it and let it go for the sake of our marriage. Well, someone asked her, well, what were those 10 flaws? So she says, you know, I never made that list. Every time he did something wrong, I'd just say, lucky for him, that's one of them. The moral of the story is, why not live that way? Lucky for you, that's just one of those things I'm not going to hang on to in 2017. Amen. I'm going to let God handle it. You'll be happier in 2017 if you'll do it. That's just like Jesus, isn't it? Third relationship choice that we should make is this: to sever any harmful relationships. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be around people. And there's going to be people that make bad choices. And Jesus was noted as a friend of sinners. But the unique thing about Jesus, he influenced the sinners didn't influence him. Anybody hear that just then? Some of you are in harmful relationships. Relationships that are no good for you. The people God's in love with, but the relationship is not right. And if you keep hanging around that relationship, regret's on the way. Well, Pastor Lowe, be careful now. No, let's get this real today. You know what I'm talking about. It happens on jobs all the time, that flirtatious atmosphere, and you're married. Be careful. And I'm also talking about you're living with your boyfriend or girlfriend. And you know you're guilty, and you feel guilt, and God wants you to do something about it. The Holy Spirit does not follow us some of the places we go. Ladies and gentlemen, hear me. Fornication is still fornication to God. Pastor Lowe, be careful now. I know our society is accepting these things, but God is not. He loves the people that accept them. He's going to wait until they get it real with him, because his spirit wants to go with us. And there's places his spirit will not go because it's not his character. He's a committed God. And I tell you that, amen, that you can change that. You can make the choice today. You can text them right now and say, look, this relationship is over today. And we're going to move anywhere. We're going to move in Christ in our relationship. Pastor, that's going to be hard. If that's hard, tell him, Pastor Dwayne, just open up your mind to what God thinks about it. And what God thinks is he wants you to make a choice. That's what he thinks. Make the necessary choices in your relationships. Amen. We exist to be followers of Christ. Everybody agree with that? And as followers of Christ, we influence the sinners. They don't influence us. Oh, yeah, Some of us are hanging around that carnal talking, dirty joke telling group. You don't need that in your life. At what point did you get away? Pastor, are you sure that's that critical? Well, let's see what the Word of God says. Anybody want to see what the Word of God says about it? In Proverbs 27 to 19, it says, a mirror reflects a man's face, but what he is really like is shown by the kind of friends he chooses. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. And I'm not here to find fault with people, but your friends lead you where you're going in your future. I've seen it in kids. Parents, show me your kids' friends and I'll show you your kids' future. I got one amen on that one. Proverbs 13:20. I don't have to have amens. I know what God's given me today is on point for 2017. Proverbs 13:20 says, he who walks with the wise grows wise. This is why it's important that you get in a group and get around people who will pray for you and create a safe haven around you. Now, for some of you think, well, Pastor Lowe's preaching performance. No, I'm not. I'm not preaching performance. I'm preaching walk with Jesus. Amen. He's your power. He's your strength. He's your performance, not you. But if you want to be where he's at, he's not some of the places we are. He'll wait on us to get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And then when we get sick and tired enough, we'll come to him. And now we're off on a good journey. Amen? But a companion of fools suffers harm. Did y'all hear that? God is the one speaking here. A companion of fools suffers harm. Harm. Hang around foolish things and you're going to get hurt. That don't convince you. In 2 Corinthians 6:14, don't be yoked. Don't have common fellowship. That's what that means. Don't be in common fellowship with. It don't mean not hang around. You're going to be around the world all the time. Be a light, but don't be in fellowship with. Don't be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? Paul is very clear here. Light and darkness does not fellowship. They can't. So what do? You choose to sever. Get rid of. Young people, you got to make some friend choices. Don't let your parents dog you out on your choices. Amen. Get away from it unless you want to be around what your future is going to be looking like. Amen. Last one is relationships that we should choose to make is I'm going to initiate some meaningful relationships. Meaning you don't have these relationships yet and you need them in your life. I'm going to initiate. I mean, some of you are going to start a small group. Hello. I go to church on Sunday. I'm not going to sit by myself and not go meet somebody. I'm going to start connecting. Hebrews 10:25. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. I'm just going to tell you today, I mean, God just gave us another day. Why did he give us another day? To get connected. Every day when you get up, the reason he let you get up is because he's into people and he's wanting you to connect with them. Did anybody hear that? You thought you got up to win the lottery. What? You won the lottery 2,000 years ago when Jesus died for you. Dude, come on, ma'am. It's time to get up. This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. He's into people. He's not into soap operas. He's not into talking down to people. He's into getting people up, encouraging them, edifying them. So what are the four most meaningful relationships that may not exist in my life today? And this is where I close. One of them might be your relationship with the church. I didn't say go to church. I'm saying you need a relationship with a church so that you can develop in being the church. Don't church hop. Stop church hopping. Get settled. Get committed. Be. Don't go. Be. Another meaningful relationship that may not exist in your life is a relationship with a small group. We have three semesters every year at New Life Fellowship. It's life-changing and it's freeing. What happens if you attend a small group? Encouragement, freedom, family happens, prayer, you get strengthened, you get support. Oh, matter of fact, it sounds like everything we all need, isn't it? Studies show that every one of us, this is studies, need 8 to 10 meaningful touches every day. What they're saying is every one of us need to have affection in our life. It's a need. It's a God design. It's in our DNA. Will small group be awkward when you first attend it? Yes, it will. But you will win. You will begin to develop relationships that you don't have, but you desperately need. Do it. Another meaningful relationship that that you may not exist in your life, and that's relationship with the team. Everybody needs to be on a team. Why? Teams are fun. Mm-hmm. Teams allow you to produce more than what you can in your own life alone. You can't do it alone. Find a team in the church and get committed and settle in. Ah, I know I'm in this place because God designed it. But this is the last one that I chose for it to be last, because it's not last, it's really number one. And this relationship may not exist in your life, and that is a relationship with God. People are making choices every day. You don't need religion. You need to be in a relationship with God. You shouldn't be blown away with the fact that God wants to be in a relationship with you. That should not shock you. That He actually wants to love you. He wants to know you. He wants to talk to you. That shouldn't shock you. That God wants to be with you more than you want to be with Him. And there has never been a day that you existed and breathed in this world that God did not passionately want to be with you more than you wanted to be with Him. Every day that you have walked in this earth, God has been passionate for you. At New Life, we want you to get the message that relationships are miles apart from religion. Relationship is intimate. Relationship is fun. It's meaningful. It's real. That's what relationships are. And only you know if you have a relationship with God or not.